Praise God for the grace that He pours out upon us to give us hope and give us life, give us purpose. Amen. It's good to see you today. Glad that you're here. Happy Labor Day weekend. How many of you have labor lying ahead of you for tomorrow? Some of you want to are going to take advantage of the holiday and actually use it for what it was intended. Praise God for that. If you have your Bibles with you, turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians today. One of the blessings that God gives to us to live in this world is the sense of smell. You know, we enjoy the five senses, but the sense of smell. Can you imagine what it's like to not have a sense of smell? Some of you can. I went through that after the great episode of COVID. Lost my sense of smell and taste, except for apple juice, which was interesting. Anyway, you know, with the sense of smell, we can enjoy the pleasant scents that are around us. We can be warned of things that we should not be close to. I temporarily, like I mentioned, lost my sense of smell and taste, and I can drive over a skunk and not even know it. And, you know, there's all kinds of things that we appreciate. The springtime, the flowers, pine trees, fresh rain smell, fresh baked bread. I used to love the smell of fresh baked bread. Grilled meat. Now, some of you don't care for that, but most of us guys do anyway. There are also smells that we detest, like I mentioned, dead skunk. Or a live skunk, or a dead animal. It only takes a mouse to disturb a whole house. Amen? It usually gets everybody's attention when there's something dead close by, and you want to get away from it. However, when we were in Lordsburg, we had an old guy that was a trapper, and he liked to collect some of these strange, odd, horrible smells. Because coyotes love dead things, and he would use it as bait. The stinkier, the better. And so I guess there's some good things for stench once in a while. Anyway, during my farm experience, it included the wonderful task of disposing of animal waste and any critters that died. Somebody's got to do it, and I was the low guy on the totem pole. So I had many occasion of dealing with that stuff. Not many girls visited me while I was out there on the farm for some reason. It took a special woman to get out there and endure what I put up with. The sooner you got rid of the dead carcasses, especially, the better, because if they sat around with time and with heat, the stench just got worse. Most people prefer the springtime when we can enjoy the spring flowers, the fragrances, the beauty, the enjoyment. Of course, if you don't have springtime all the time, you can go to the store and buy a can of spray, get a bar of soap, use something to freshen up, powders, deodorants. Aren't we thankful for deodorant? Sometimes we need it, don't we? We enjoy pleasant aromas. God's Word refers to several sacrifices that were soothing aromas to Him. In the world, He also gives us the pleasure of pleasant aromas. And of course, giving these aromas can be the free gift of God, or it can cost a few dollars, or it can require a full commitment, depending on which aroma you are dealing with. These aromas are based upon a willing sacrifice of the one who owned them. The reactions to these fragrances are varied, depending on who senses them. And in today's key text of our passage in 2 Corinthians, We even find that one source of aroma can be detestable to some people, whereas it is thoroughly a delight to others. Do you know what that aroma is? We're going to look at that today. Pray with me. Thank you, Father, for goodness, for life. Thank you for the senses that you give to us for our benefit, for our enjoyment. We thank you for the sense of smell that helps us and warns us. Father, we thank you most of all for your great love for us and that you want us to be with you forever. Brother Ray mentioned the aspect of you created the beautiful Garden of Eden, and Revelation describes such a place in your presence forever. Help us to want to be part of your family. Guide us in our study. Help us to consider whether or not we are being found pleasing to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text once again is from 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're looking at specifically at verses 14 through 17. And I am reading from the New American Standard Translation, picking up in the middle of some thoughts that the Apostle Paul has for the church at Corinth. He says, "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved, and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? For we are not like many peddling the word of God, but as from sincerity. But as from God, we speak in Christ in the sight of God." This is an interesting passage, but we are brought to the idea of aromas, to the senses. The first point I want to deal with is that God delights in soothing aromas. God delights in soothing aromas. God is the creator of everything, including aromas. God is the one who gives us the ability to smell and to distinguish between the different aromas, the senses, the fragrances or the stenches. He is the one who designed all of this, these various scents, the sweetness of a rose, a honeysuckle, or a lilac, the smell of rain, the pine forest, or a cedar, an orchard blooming. God also designed the stench to warn of hazards, to protect us from certain creatures. Skunks, number one, stink bugs, and decay. There are warning signs, and they are distinguishable. God's wrath against sin is appeased by soothing aromas. When we go back and read through the Old Testament, starting in Genesis, it records that from the very beginning of human sin, God accepted burnt animal sacrifices as a substitute instead of punishing the people for their sin directly. Abel offered sacrifices, as did Noah and Abraham, and on down the list as we read through our Old Testament. God was pleased with these sacrifices offered up to Him. All ancient righteous people willfully and gladly offered burnt offerings as unto God as a soothing aroma to the Lord to appease His wrath from Him, to protect themselves from His punishing them directly. God's law, given through Moses, required specific aromas for different things. God required the pleasing aromas of a special fragrant anointing oil that He designed specifically for the use of the priests and to anoint the various articles, the various items that were used in the holy dwelling. God also designed and required special incense for continual burning in His house. And those are described in Exodus. God's wrath against Israel's sin was appeased by what? By burnt offerings of bulls, rams, sheep, doves, grain offerings. Offerings of thanks and celebration included very similar sacrifices. So we see in the Old Testament that God is delighted with pleasing aromas that are dedicated to Him. As we move into the New Testament, we run into some stories about Jesus. Jesus was pleased with soothing aromas. Our Lord interacted with all kinds of people, from the well-to-do to those who were extremely poor and in horrible condition, afflicted with disease, even leprosy. What is leprosy? It's the rotting of human flesh. And if you've smelled rotting human flesh or animal flesh, it's not pleasant. Was Jesus concerned about that smell? No, He was more concerned about the individual heart condition of every person. So I want to turn to the book of Luke at this time, to a story that you probably read in the past. During the ministry of Jesus, Jesus ate a meal with a man named Simon, a self-righteous Pharisee. So let's read this passage, Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 36. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting Him to dine with him, and He entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that He was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind Him at His feet, weeping, she began to wet His feet with her tears and kept wiping them with her hair of her head and kissing His feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." And Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he replied, "Say it, teacher." A money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, He graciously forgave them both. "Which of them will love Him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom He forgave more." And He said to him, "You have judged correctly." Turning toward the woman, He said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." Then He said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." Those who were reclining at the table with Him began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who even forgives sins?" And He said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." In this passage, we see that remember that the Pharisees were very strict keepers of the law, including frequent washings. Anywhere and everywhere they went, they were washing. But He did not offer Jesus the courtesy of even washing His feet. Why would that be necessary? They had just come out of the streets. They'd been walking the dirty streets, shared with cattle, sheep, donkeys, and goats. Most Pharisees that encountered Jesus had evil intentions. They were looking for reasons to deny and be critical of Jesus. And we see the example here. The sinful woman humbly desired to honor Jesus. She entered the Pharisee's house, not knowing what his reaction, probably pretty sure of what his reaction would be, of rejection, of eviction. But she enters this house because Jesus was there, and she bows at the feet of Jesus, weeping over her sin, and she washes the feet of Jesus with her tears. And then what does she do? She wipes her tears off of his feet with her own hair. With her hair. These feet that have been walking filthy streets. And on top of that, what else is she doing? She's kissing his feet. She sacrificially poured costly perfume upon his feet, seeking to show her repentance and to seek to show her faith in Jesus. She wanted to honor Jesus. Jesus approved of her actions and said her sin was what? Forgiven. But he was very critical of the Pharisee. The Pharisee, the host, who didn't really show any concern for Jesus or the woman. The Pharisee who was trusting in himself, his own accomplishment, instead of putting his faith in the power of God, the only Redeemer who was sitting at his table. Jesus was pleased with that soothing aroma. Jesus was prepared for death with soothing aromas. Another interesting passage in the book of Mark. If you want to turn over to the book of Mark, chapter 14. It was 1 week before Jesus gave himself to be crucified. He made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and he was interacting. We're not going to read all of the accounts. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey colt, fulfilling prophecy. And the multitudes praised him as the son of David and the rightful heir to the throne of David, the ruler sent from God. They were looking for big things from a human perspective. People anticipated his promised coming kingdom, the eviction of the Romans. And so Jesus did several things during this week. And a couple of days before he gave himself on the cross, Jesus was eating with a man whom he had healed, and this man lived in Bethany. So let's read this passage out of Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. Some similar things go on, but there are differences in this story. Mark chapter 14, verse 3 through 9. While he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard, and she broke the vial and poured it over his head. But some very indignantly remarking to one another, "Why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they were scolding her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you bother her? She has done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her." So the woman comes in, interrupts the dinner to do a good thing. Jesus had been telling the apostles about his coming death. He foretold his capture. He foretold his torture. He foretold the beatings. He foretold the crucifixion. He foretold that he was going to die and that he would also be what? Raised from the dead. Just as Jonah was in the great fish, so must the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth. They didn't understand it. His disciples either ignored it or they denied it. After all, how could anything this terrible happen to somebody who was so popular? Look at the multitudes that are following Jesus. And after all, look at all the miracles that you can do. You don't know what you're talking about, Jesus, they were saying to themselves. No, Jesus knew exactly what was coming. Jesus came to be the final Lamb of God. So this woman shows up, and this woman pours this expensive perfume where? In this case, on his head during this meal. And some of his men began complaining about the waste. If you read other passages, it indicates that Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was the treasurer. And he's probably the main one, but all the other disciples kind of joined in with him. What a waste. Look, we could have sold that for money and used it in a different way. If you're not familiar with the wage system and the money system, a denarii or a denarius was one day's wages, common use. If you worked for a day, you got one denarius. And you used that one denarius to buy the food for the day and take care of the business for the day. 300 denarii is 300 days' wages. If you figure that out, that's almost a year's salary. And if you take off vacation, take off holidays, take off weekends, it is a full year's salary. And she gladly poured it on Jesus' head. She gladly gave this sacrifice to the Lord to show her appreciation. And what was Jesus' response? She has anointed my body beforehand for the what? For the burial. For the burial. They didn't get it. Whose burial? What burial? We're not going to any funeral. They still did not understand what Jesus intended to do. Jesus reprimanded his disciples for their selfishness, but he praised that woman for her sacrifice. She willingly sacrificed a year's worth of her wages for the Lord to honor Jesus. And she's an example for us. What does Jesus ask of us? Does he just ask for a year's worth of our life? Or does he just ask for today? No, he asks for our entire life. He asks for us to dedicate everything we are, everything we have, to his glory. Do we? Will we? Are we? Jesus' perfect, sinless life was already pleasing to God, but now his body was prepared for the sacrifice that he was going to give to become a pleasing aroma to God in the fullest sense, as the Lamb of God who takes away what? The sin of the world. Our sin. Your sin. Your neighbor's sin. The worst person's sin. Jesus paid it all. The fourth point that I want to deal with is Jesus prepares His servants to be soothing aromas. Aromas to who? Aromas to God. And that brings us back to our main text that we started off with today in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. Let me refresh your memory. Verse 15, for we are a fragrance to Christ. Who's a fragrance? Us. We are. We are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To the other, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? Are you a fragrance pleasing to God, or are you a pungent, disgusting reflection to God? That's the challenge we need to examine in our own lives. When we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we take on all of His nature, including His aroma of goodness and righteousness. The stench of sin and death are washed away by the new life that Jesus Christ gives to us. Life is a gift from who? From the Lord God, the Lord of life, Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Jesus overcame the power of sin and death through His powerful resurrection for our benefit. Jesus identifies this renewed condition to Nicodemus in the beginning of the Gospel of John as being born again through water and the Spirit. As we read further into the New Testament, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, He gave us new directions, new commands to the apostles, and they were to go out, preach the word, and to immerse, baptize those who believe in Christ. Why is that all taking place? To make them new creatures pleasing to God. And so, did the apostles follow through? Did they do that? Did they obey that command, that final command? Yes. It's recorded in the book of Acts and on into the other writings of the New Testament. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, the very first sermon. Peter said to the crowd, repent and let each of you be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, and you will receive the gift of who? The Holy Spirit. That pattern is followed through the rest of the New Testament. In Romans chapter 6, it describes our baptism as the death of sin and being raised a brand new person in Christ. Christians are described then as living sacrifices pleasing unto God in Romans chapter 12. So the Apostle Paul covers this in the book of Romans from beginning to end, our walk with God, our precondition, the transformation in Christ, and what we become living for Jesus. Paul identifies us as a fragrance of Christ to God, even as we live in a world filled with people that are still dying in their sins. If you haven't caught the implications, things that die start to stink. People living in sin spiritually are not smelling very good. Our sin is a corruption of what God intended. But you who are living in Christ are like a sweet aroma which infiltrates the world. Jesus said in another analogy that we are light in the world. What does light do to darkness? It drives it away, pushes it back. It overcomes the darkness. Other people will either reject or they will desire your Christian witness. People are going to react differently to you when you walk in Christ. When you start sharing Jesus, people are going to react in one of two ways. They're going to want to hear more, or they're going to say, get away from me. I don't want to hear it. And that's the sad part, is when they say, leave me alone. We don't want to see that. We want to share the life that Jesus has. Verse 16 says, the corrupt who are in Satan will be reminded of how bad they are, how wretched they are, how disgusting they are, their life compared with what God wants them to be. But those who are seeking God will be reminded of His goodness and His eternal blessings, of that which is desirable. Going back to my farm days, again, I worked around the livestock all day long. And when you work in the middle of the livestock, you have to learn to accept the fragrance of the air. Otherwise, you go crazy. You have to learn to ignore the odors of animal waste. And if you're working with dead animals, trying to get rid of them, you have to live with it. But the strange thing is, as you're living out there in that corruption, it infiltrates your skin. It infiltrates your clothes. It gets stuck to your boots. It's probably stuck on your clothes, too. And when you go out and mix with other people, what's their reaction? Where have you been? And a lot of people turn up their nose unless they've been around that type of atmosphere. Now, I could react in one of two ways. I could say, well, if you're not going to accept me, I'll just go back and live with the pigs. Or I could choose the other thing, is give me a little time. I'll go get cleaned up. I'll take a shower. I'll put on fresh clothes. I'll even put on some good smelling stuff if you just give me a little time. Most people appreciated when I chose the second. If you're willing to live outside of Christ, your soul is going to stink more and more in the presence of God. You won't improve. You're in the process of spiritual decay. Jesus offers you a chance to be changed and transformed, but you have to do it His way. Will you choose to follow Jesus and be freshened up, to smell, to appear, to be presentable to the perfect God who loves us, who wants us? If you obey Jesus Christ, He will make you brand new. You can be a soothing aroma to the Father of eternity. I encourage you, let's all choose to be those soothing aromas in Jesus Christ. Let Him make you new every single morning. Anytime you discover sin, let His blood take it away. But you have to do it His way. Pray with me. Father, I just pray that You will work in the hearts of those who need to submit to the Lordship of Jesus, obeying His commands of believing that He is the Savior for all humanity, that they would want to turn away from sin completely, which Your Scripture calls repentance, that we are willing to confess our failures, our sinfulness, our corruption, and to receive that washing, that cleansing that only Jesus gives in obedience to His command. Help us to help each other day by day. Anytime we get smudges on us, anytime we get filth on us, that we help each other and encourage each other to get cleaned up once again by admitting and cleansing ourselves with Your truth, Your word, Your life, Your ways. Thank You for this opportunity to share together. Let us be found as pleasing aromas, soothing aromas in Your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.